completing our study on this subject, When the Money Runs Out, Hope and Help for the Financially Stressed. We've looked at the first half of the book in our last two sessions, where we were thinking about the spiritual nature of how we deal with finances and how we deal with financial stress and some of the opportunities for growth that those crises bring to us. As many of these books have, the second half of the book talks about some practical strategies, so I'm going to follow that pattern here today, and we're going to think about some practical strategies. So you've come into a time of financial crisis. After considering the lessons that God may be teaching you, there is one more lesson to learn. Your financial crisis can also provide an opportunity for you to learn wise and biblical patterns for your use of money and for your use of your finances. And that does lead to some practical steps, and we're going to talk about those here this afternoon. The first step is that you need to assess your financial situation. Let me preface the following comments by saying that that this may seem to be an oversimplification. I realize that financial difficulties are a very hard time to go through, and so I don't want to seem to be trite or that I'm oversimplifying things to the point of being callous. This is a teaching situation, and it's separated from actual occurrences, so recognize that as we go over some of these steps, that I'm not just saying there are these three steps that you need to take and everything will be hunky-dory, and especially having just suggested that there are spiritual aspects to financial difficulties that you're going through, so I hope you'll see it in that light. Nevertheless, if you'll listen and consider these steps and take these steps, I think you'll find a way forward, because the Bible does give us lessons on wise and biblical patterns for our finances. So, as I said, the first step is to assess. How did you get where you are? Here's the oversimplification. Probably one of two ways. First, you don't have enough income to cover your expenses. Or second, you're spending more than you make. Now, all financial difficulties revolve around not being able to meet expenses in one way or another. And the author of our booklet, James Petty, gives these two as major headings for why it is that sometimes we find ourselves in these dire straits. So let's take that first one. You don't have enough income to cover your expenses. In this case, I have in mind more in lines with those fixed expenses like housing costs, food, utilities, car, etc., things like that. You may have made some very serious decisions about any discretionary spending that you have, and you've limited all of that, and you're down to bare bones. This is what I understand my expenses are to live, and you still are going in the hole each month. This can happen for a lot of different reasons. It could be that you've lost your job or that your job has changed, and so the income level that you had and that you had expected is not as much as you once had. It may be that your lifestyle has expanded to a point that has gone beyond what your income level is, or likely a combination of the two. The point is that you have more expenses than you have income. So you need to assess. You need to find out where your money is going. And that means you're going to need to keep record of what your expenses are for a period of time. It may be that you're one that likes to keep records and that you've done this all along. And so you might be able to go back and over the last year, you might be able to say, these are the expenses I had. This is the income that I received. And here I can see how much each month I'm falling behind. If you're not like that, though, and you just kind of keep a tab on your checking account and you have this vague feeling that it's getting kind of low and that you need to make some changes and that and you may have gotten an overdraft and been surprised by that, don't be embarrassed. That happens to a lot of people. Let me encourage you to take at least a month, if not 3 months, to assess where you are spending your money. That means you need to keep record of everything you buy, whether that be the eating out, the groceries you put on the table, the rent that you pay, the books that you buy, whatever it is. Keep a record, write it down, and develop some broad categories. In a little bit, I'll suggest some resources for you to help you to understand what those broad categories are. Keep a record, go over that record, categorize those expenses, and you can group them into two main expenses types of things. Those that are necessary fixed expenses for what you understand you need for living. And those are those things that go into housing, food, clothing, things like that. And then what I'll call discretionary spending. And those are things that are for optional matters, going out to a movie, eating out, buying lots of books that what? I'm identifying some of my own discretionary tendencies here. Oh, that's it. There are times that that's true. There are times that this can be fudged over into you can fudge some into necessary that might rather be in discretionary. So you do need to assess, you need to analyze where you are spending your money, and then do some analysis of that. If your fixed expenses are more than your income, then you will naturally be going into the red more and more each month. Your next step then is to make some decisions about the way that you either are spending or about the expenses that you have or the income that you have. So you can revise your expenses or find ways to increase your income. Now, revising your expenses may mean that in your analysis that you found that you are spending more in discretionary things than you thought you were. It's quite possible to do that. You may think, boy, I didn't realize I was spending that much on monster drinks each week, or on books this last month. I'm surprised at how much that actually cost, and I need to make some decisions about that and change my discretionary expenses. That's one way that you can do that. I'll get to that a little bit more in a minute. But there are times when you may find that You've pared it down to what you think is a bare bones type of budget, and you're still spending more than you take in. You still have some decisions that you can make. You can revise those expenses. It may involve some tough decisions. If you're in a household that has several cars, you may decide to sell a car. It may lead you to a decision about your housing, that the rent that I'm paying is quite a bit more than I can afford. I need to find a place that has less rent, or change a mortgage situation. I need to update some things in my home so that the utilities are less, or a variety of ways that you can revise your expenses. You can also revise your income. How can you revise your income? I'll pose that as a question. Okay, yeah. As in a second job or another job in general? Both of those work, actually.
Right. That was why I had in mind moonlighting. Trying to do something burning the candle at both ends.
It has some cost to it, just even the way you said that, burning the candle at both ends. You need to recognize and balance all of the responsibilities that you have. And if you work a 40-hour a week and choose to take on 20 hours more, that you're sacrificing other things, family especially, while it may be a season of life that you go through that has to be done, that I wouldn't advise it for a long period of time just because of the sacrifices that are made. So there are a variety of ways that a second job, a job to begin with, or a different job. It's okay to look and ask questions. Are there other areas of labor that I can go into that would meet these expenses better? These are practical steps, and let me pause and say that there are still spiritual issues that are tied up into these. Pride will make it very hard to make decisions about your finances that are difficult. Who wants to say? Your friend comes up and says, "Oh, you're not driving your car anymore. I see a different car here. I'm a Ford rather than the Porsche." Who wants to say, "I couldn't afford it"? Our pride doesn't want to admit that we're having a problem meeting our expenses. It takes humility to say that. It takes humility to act on that. And it takes faith to act on that. So recognize that there are still spiritual issues involved. Secondly, I've already alluded to this. It may be that you don't have enough income, bare bones, and you're still not making it. But it could be the case that, as I already alluded to, that you're spending more than you make. And this is more probably the case. This is where I have in mind the idea that your discretionary spending, or a combination of an elevated lifestyle and discretionary spending, have brought you to a place where you're spending more than you make. It is a very common and very easy pattern of living to fall into. Just kind of go with the flow of our society around us that encourages spending without any repercussions, without any thought, without any planning or preparation. In fact, the whole idea of spending on credit is one that encourages you to buy before you're ready to buy, and to spend money that you don't have. So if this is the case, there's some immediate spiritual issues to call in to your attention. It could well be that this type of buying and this type of lifestyle is a symptom of a spiritual dependency on stuff to make you happy. Use Madame Blueberry from VeggieTales as an example of that. She was convinced that she needed lots and lots of stuff from Stuff Mart to be happy. And she tried to do that and her house fell down. It was so full of stuff it fell down. And she still wasn't happy. You can go watch Madame Blueberry on your own. Yes, yes. A whole other session could be given to the idolatry of materialism and of money. So what do you do? Practically, again, oversimplification warning here. You need to make a budget, and you need to stick to that budget. If you need help making a budget, there are, I think, some well-qualified people in the congregation that have done this and have helped others. You can also look online for resources from Larry Burkett or Dave Ramsey. This little booklet as well has a very simple idea in the back. If you want to have some ideas as to what a simple budget looks like, I even simplify it further from this, but this has several categories in a table that have necessary expenses of a fixed variety, and necessary expenses of a little more variable variety, and that gets into discretional types of giving, gifts, hobbies, sports, books, magazines, photos, vacation, things like that. So if you've never made a budget, then take some time, be a student, learn how to make a budget. And that means you say, I know that I have this much income, I know that these are my fixed expenses, and then of that, let's say you make $100, you designate 20 of it for this, 20 of it for that, 20 of it for that, and so on, and until you've accounted for all of that income. As I say, gross oversimplification, but make a budget. Let me say then, stick to your budget. And this is probably where you get in trouble. You may have a budget, but you don't stick to it. The discretionary spending or the spur of the moment type of spending, or just unthinking about it, is where you might get in trouble. So many people have suggested this, and I'll just follow their example by saying, limit what you have in your pocket. If you're not able to do it mathematically by a spreadsheet or your checkbook or something like that, then just take a very simple approach. Limit what you have. If you say, I have $100 for entertainment and eating out this month, then go and get $100 from the bank, put it in an envelope, and use that through the month. And when it's gone, it's gone. You aren't tempted to use more because there's no more there. And if you still cannot control it, if you say, well, I don't quite have it, I'll use my credit card, then there's maybe wisdom for you to give your credit card to someone else to watch over for you. Well, cut it up. That's other people talk about.
Your first idea.
You're a couple of volunteers to take credit cards, I heard.
You know what I do is I don't have a credit card. I just use prepaid debit cards. You can use one of those, you know, prepaid And then once whatever money, you have to, you know, keep an eye on how much money you got on it so you don't accidentally go over.
Mm-hmm.
But I order, when I want to order something online, that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And once it's gone, it's gone. And if someone steals it from me, they only got what's on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that will be another type of envelope system. Larry Burkett kind of made that envelope system famous. You have an envelope or a credit card that has your car repair expenses in it for the month, or your grocery expenses. And this is where it's I would say the hardest is sticking to that budget. Now remember that there will be times that you don't spend as much, and typically through a year there'll be times that you spend a little bit more. And as you're more mature and as you get into that, you'll be able to recognize those ebbs and flows and just kind of maintain your budget, recognizing those ups and downs. But if you're having trouble learning that and can't quite understand it, then limit what you have in your pocket, and that will help. There are a lot more resources there for you, and I'll encourage you to look at those other resources. Vicki?
Talk about the blessings then of financial freedom. This is all kind of negative.
It has been negative. It has been, and I apologize about that. What we found in our family is that when we don't know how much we have to spend, that rather than not spending anything, we just kind of say, "Oh well," and it can go haywire. But when we do know what we have to spend in a certain category, then we have all the freedom in the world. We say we put this money aside to go out to eat this month, and we're going to enjoy it because we know we have the money for it because we've set it aside. And there's a lot of freedom in doing that, and it takes some planning and some steps, but it really is a good place to be. You want to add anything to that, or?
Yeah, I was just going to say too that just the satisfaction of planning for something, waiting for it, and then appreciating it. Just having that freedom to do that. And, the Bible talks about working so that you have to give to others. So, instead of thinking, oh, I don't have money to give to others because I'm just barely keeping myself going, that can be another blessing of
mm-hmm.
financial responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Well said. I didn't budget my time very well. I've overspent my budget of time. I will allow any other quick questions or comments so that I need to close. I cut off all discussion with my comment. Well, if you do have other questions, please feel free to talk to me afterwards. But let's bow in prayer. Father, teach us these lessons well, both the spiritual and the practical. And pray, God, that you would help us to manage our households well, manage our finances well, that we would do so to your glory and honor. And God, give us joy as we do that. Help us not to be a slave to our money, either by overspending or by being miserly and with our budget. Instead, I pray that you would help us to recognize the blessings you have given us, and then let us be a blessing to others as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, you're dismissed.